people are going to more sources, interacting with those information sources in a different way, and sort of putting more of themselves out there and interacting in a way that hasn't necessarily been seen with politics in a while anyway. But it's a new way of looking at information and interacting with information.
And one of the charts that's early on in the survey shows you basically ask people, where are you getting your information? And TV still, by and large, the largest place where people are getting information. But below that, a lot of turmoil, a lot of changes there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And TV is certainly king, although when you start digging down into certain demographic groups, that becomes a little less clear-cut. So for the entire population, so that's internet users, non-users, you know, everyone sort of lumped together, the internet is now basically on par with newspapers as the second most important source of political news and information.
But the demographic issue still was very powerful, and among young folks, a lot of activism, at least a lot of sense that they want to be involved in some form or fashion.
Absolutely. And when we look at one of the things that we identified in this was an online participatory class where people don't want to just go and get information. They want to interact with their friends. They want to sell people on a cause or a candidate. And young people in particular were very interested in doing those sorts of activities in terms of sharing information with their friends, in terms of posting things for other people to read, forwarding information, and writing sort of their own original thoughts and using those to contribute to the broader online debate.
And one of the statistics that you have in there that frankly just shocked me was 1 in 5 internet users have posted political commentary, I'll put it in quotes, online in some form or fashion, whether it be posting on your Facebook page or something beyond that, blogging or something like that. 1 in 5 people, that's a lot of people.
It is. And it's actually 1 in 5 internet users, but even at that, that's a significant number. And again, for people in the sort of under 35 category, they're particularly drawn to getting out there and contributing to that debate by posting things, by commenting on other people's writing, by having their own blogs, doing all of those sorts of things that really sort of allow them to, not just get information, but really share part of themselves and contribute to that, greater debate community, whatever you want to call it.
Do you also find, and I know you parse the demographics in all sorts of ways, but was it also, did education play a difference? Did people who had a high school were more or less online users than people who had a college degree or a postgraduate degree?
Certainly. So there were sort of three kind of key elements to when you look at the sort of the most intense political users that we found in general, and this is, this is somewhat of a generalization, but in general, they tend to be higher incomes, higher levels of education, and younger. With that said, we saw for certain activities quite a bit of egalitarianism there. So to use the example of email, one of the things that we found that was interesting was that seniors were quite likely to use email to forward things to their friends, send out links to things that they found that were interesting. And we think that may have to do with the fact that, many seniors are very comfortable using email to communicate with their families or get pictures of their grandkids. So that's kind of a natural way for them to interact with the world. But certainly when you look at the sort of the most intense political internet users, they tend to have those certain demographic features, although that's true in a broad sense.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of concern among feds that you the more that you put online, are you creating a have and have not? Is it just a different way of sort of divvying up people who have information?
Right, and I think it goes back to the idea that despite all this activity, television is still king. Or
right.
When you look at the way that the Obama administration, for instance, in their political their political online activities, everything was geared towards encouraging that offline activism or getting money online so that they could buy television advertising. I think smart politicians and I think smart government officials in this, as it pertains to your readers, recognize that lots of different people get information in lots of different ways, and some people are more comfortable online with others. Some people are more comfortable with particular forms of online interaction than others.
There was one chart in there, and I was just looking for it while you were talking, but I think it had something to do with how voters communicated. And one of the things that shocked me was mail was postal mail, I assume, was still the number one, above email, above text messaging, and I think that was the chart that actually included Twitter as well.
Yeah, so at the moment, yeah, when you're talking about where people receive political messages, definitely there's still a lot of direct mail going on, and certainly that's none of the things that are happening online are necessarily pushing aside those traditional forms of political.
They're additive. It's above and beyond what people are doing already.
Exactly, and it's all geared towards not just having online interaction for online interaction's sake. It's online interaction that inspires or encourages some sort of additional activity, whether that's logging into mybarackobama.com so that I can do phone banking, or finding people in my neighborhood who are upset about their tax rate so I can meet up with them and petition the government. All of those sort of activities, it's in addition to the sort of traditional activism that people engage in, not as a necessarily replacement or supplement for.
Do you have any sense, and we're coming up on the 100 days, this big, we all need something to measure, so we measure the 100 days of actual governing, and do you have any sense as to whether, I think a lot of folks were watching the campaign and saying, oh my goodness, the Barack Obama administration is going to use a lot of these tools that they used in the campaign also in how they governed. As you watch it, it seems like that's at least partially true.
It is, and I think as we've been watching them and as they did in the campaign, they've been sort of cautious in terms of how they've rolled out these sorts of things. But certainly you've seen with his online town hall forums or his applications that let people post questions to the administration and vote on them, you've certainly seen them sort of try to channel that excitement that people had in terms of the campaign and engaging in the online debate and transition that over to the broader government. You've also seen people trying to figure out, the administration trying to figure out how to use their email lists that they gathered to get people to sort of petition for the administration's policies. And so while it's definitely early on, and the administration's history on this over the campaign and over the transition is to sort of roll things out slowly, see what works, and kind of build on things in a somewhat incremental way. You've certainly seen them in specific instances try to use those tools to keep that involvement and that interest going that people had during the campaign.
You also touch on actually using these tools as a voter way of getting people to vote.
Exactly, and that was one of the things that we found was interesting. We were curious. Everyone saw pictures on the cable news networks of long lines at the polls, and obviously people were very excited about this election, and so we were interested in seeing to what extent people use these online tools to sort of navigate the voting process itself and then to share their experiences at the polls. And what we found were that fairly sizable numbers of people were going online to do things like find out where to vote, figure out whether they were registered or not, get directions to their polling location, doing those sorts of activities to kind of get around in the voting process. And in addition to that, what we found was that particularly for younger voters, they were extremely interested in sharing their views about their experiences at the polls and letting people know who they voted for and how long the line was and how quickly it moved and how many people were there. And we increasingly saw them using things, tools such as text messaging and email and social networking sites to sort of share their excitement about the democratic process, which we thought was pretty cool.